5,000 years ago. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his original form, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, appeared in this world Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadusvatam Dharma Samstapanaradhaya Sambhavami Jude Jude. He came to protect his devotees, to annihilate the demoniac, and to re-establish the principles of religion. At the time, the Pandavas, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva, who were the rightful heirs to the throne of Hastinapur, which was the capital at the time for the entire planet Earth, they were cheated by the envious and greedy-minded Duryodhana. Duryodhana's greed and his ambitions to exploit the Pandavas were so very powerful that they infected the minds of all of his associates. Including his own father, Dhritarashtra. The Pandavas were banished to the forest for 14 years. They were great devotees of Lord Krishna. They had no desire for fame, for power, or for wealth. They simply wanted to serve the Lord and please Him. It was Krishna's arrangement that this great battle took place in Kurukshetra. Krishna wanted to speed up the purpose of his mission by gathering all dishonest rulers of the world, bringing them all in one place to extinguish them all. Of course, the Pandavas, they were content if they could just have five small villages to rule. And Krishna actually wanted to give all of these demoniac people the chance to live peacefully according to the principles of Dharma. So Krishna became the messenger for Yudhisthira. He went to Hastinapur and he proposed that the Pandavas are the rightful rulers of this entire earth. You have cheated them of everything, and all they request, they are so humble and simple, is five villages. You could have the rest. But Duryodhana was thinking if he gave them anything, ultimately he would lose everything. Because he knew that Yudhisthira was a better person than him. And his envy burned so deep that he replied, I will not give them anything, not even the amount of land you can put the head of a needle through. Krishna at that time understood that this war was inevitable. And by his divine arrangement, it was this place called Kurukshetra where the battle was to be fought. In the Vedic literatures, especially the Puranas, perhaps more than any other place, Kurukshetra is explained and glorified as a place of pilgrimage. It has been a place of pilgrimage since time immemorial. And throughout the ages, people have come to this place to perform sacrifices. People from all over the world, since time immemorial, would come to Kurukshetra to worship the Lord, especially on auspicious occasions. When the battle field was lined with the various soldiers, millions and millions of soldiers from the Kurus on one side, there were 11 Akshohini divisions that belonged to the Kurus, and 7 Akshohini divisions of soldiers belonging to the Pandavas. The rules for the battle were just being made. The fight was about to commence. At that time, Arjuna asked Krishna, who was acting as his chariot driver, to ride the chariot between the two armies. How is it that Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord of everything and everyone, is acting in such a menial position as the chariot driver of his devotee? It is described that prior to this, after the war had been confirmed, Duryodhana and Arjuna both approached Lord Sri Krishna, who was sleeping on his bed, because they all both understood how much they needed his help. When Krishna awoke, actually Arjuna, in his humility, was standing, kneeling at the feet of Krishna. And Duryodhana, with his audacity, was standing before the face of Lord Krishna. When Krishna awoke, he said, "I will give one of you one entire Akshohini division of my soldiers, and the other side, I will take the position of a chariot driver, and I vow I will not fight and I will not raise a weapon." Duryodhana had material vision. He did not have faith. He chose the Akshohini division of soldiers, because Krishna's soldiers were very powerful. He was thinking, what is the use of Krishna on my side if he's not going to help me fight? I'll take your soldiers with all their weapons, with all their elephants, with all their chariots. Arjuna was very happy. Arjuna had faith. But wherever is Krishna, there will be victory. If Krishna is on our side, nothing can defeat us. We don't need his wealth. We don't need his armies. All we need is to be favored by his will, and nothing can defeat us. So here was a very characteristic example of the difference between the material mind and the mind of a devotee. A materialist is always calculating things by how they appear before his senses. A materialist is always worried what I will lose and what I will gain based on his sense perception. But a devotee doesn't see with his eyes. He sees through the eyes of the scriptures, chakshusha, shruti. In this way, a devotee understands that if I have faith in God and Krishna is pleased with me, then that is the only consideration of my life that has any relevance at all. Because a devotee's goal is not to achieve anything in this world save and except pleasing Krishna. Mare Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mare. If Krishna wants to protect you, there is no power that can harm you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, there is no power, no arrangement you can make to possibly save yourself. In the age of Satyayuga, we hear the story of Ambarish Maharaj. He was a simple devotee. Durvas Muni had great mystic powers. He was more powerful just with his own mysticism than the whole Kuru army. When he became angry at Ambarish Maharaj due to his own egoistic desire to be respected, he created a weapon which could destroy the whole universe, a fiery weapon. And when this terrible, terrible weapon, more powerful than millions of armies, came within inches of killing Ambarish Maharaj, he didn't even raise a single finger to defend himself. He simply folded his hands and meditated on the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And he prayed, "My Lord, if you want this demon to kill me, then I'm ready for death. And if you want to protect me, I have no reason to fear this. I am your servant. Whatever you like, you do." Bhakti Vinod also prayed in this way. Maro vira kobi jo icha tohara nitya dasa prati tua adhikara. My Lord, if you want, you can kill me, or if you want, you can protect me. I have no preference, one or the other. I am your eternal servant, and you can deal with me in any way that you please. This is the mood of a devotee. So when Ambarish Maharaj prayed in this way, the Sudarshan Chakra of Vishnu came down and destroyed the fiery demon, and then came after Durvas Muni, who had to run for his life. For one full year, he went to Brahma, he went to Shiva, he went to Indra. But they all told him that if Vishnu's anger is upon you, only Vishnu can save you. And when he finally went to Vaikuntha Loka, such a powerful yogi, he fell at the feet of Lord Narayan, who said, "Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham." That my devotee is more dear to me than my very life. If you have offended my devotee, the only salvation for you is you must fall at the feet and beg forgiveness from that devotee. So although Ambarish Maharaj was a simple householder, Vihasta, who had no special powers, and Durvasa Muni was such a powerful renunciate, an avatar of Lord Shiva, he was defeated. He was defeated simply by the unflinching faith of Ambarish Maharaj. Because Krishna responds to the faith in his devotee. Arjuna had this faith. So it was decided that Krishna would be the chariot driver of Arjuna. When Krishna was ordered by Arjuna, take this chariot between the armies, Krishna, acting as the order carrier of his devotee, rode the chariot to this very place that we are sitting today. It is called Jyotisa. This place is so worshipable that literally all the great acharyas of the past have come here to worship this place. We read in the histories of the previous great saints how Shankaracharya personally came here and spent long time worshipping this place and meditating on the teachings of Gita. Similarly, Ramanujacharya, during his yatra, on his way to Badrik Ashram, he came to Kurukshetra and he worshipped this place. Madhvacharya, on his way to Badrik Ashram also, he came to Kurukshetra and he worshipped this place. Balabhacharya also came here and he did his bhajan, meditating on the glorious teachings of the Gita. Nimbarkacharya came to this place. Vishnu Swami came to this place. And Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came here to Kurukshetra. And he worshipped Krishna and Arjuna here under this immortal banyan tree, which was the witness of that most sacred of all dialogues between Krishna and Arjuna. So yes, it was right where we are sitting that Krishna was sitting on the chariot with Arjuna. And when Arjuna saw the two armies, he noticed that there were relatives and friends on both sides. In fact, on the enemy side was the most beloved person of his life, with the exception of Krishna himself. And that was grandfather Bhishma. He raised him from his birth with so much love and attention. And his own teacher, Drona, he learned all of his military skills from Drona. And generally, a disciple is always obliged to his guru. But now he was thinking that what type of respect is this? He's given me all this knowledge of fighting and now I'm going to use it to try to kill him. Plus his own cousins, who although they were so much unfair to him, Arjuna, due to his soft-hearted nature, he could forgive them easily. He did not want to cause bloodshed or pain to them. Let them have the kingdom. In this way, Arjuna fell into a state of deep depression and perplexity. Meanwhile, Dhritarashtra, he was sitting in his own headquarters. He could not attend this battle because he was blind and he was very old, although factually Bhishma was far older than him, but he was leading his own battle, he was leading his own army. So he was sitting in a comfortable and secure place and he was speaking to his very loyal servant Sanjaya, asking Sanjaya, what is taking place on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? It was with this question of Dhritarashtra that Srimad Bhagavad Gita begins. The Bhagavad Gita was written by the great literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Srila Vyasadeva, the son of Parasara Muni and Satyavati. Veda Vyas, with his transcendentally divine spiritual vision, he compiled the greatest and longest poem in the history of the human race. As he spoke, Lord Ganapati, Ganesh, wrote, Vedavyas said, that I will speak as long as you write without interruption. And Ganesh replied that I will write as long as you speak without interruption. So in this way, a transcendental contract was made between the two. The Mahabharata is over 100,000 slokas in the most beautiful, pristine Sanskrit poetry. And approximately 700 of those verses within the Mahabharata, or should we say 18 chapters of the Mahabharata, compose the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is to be considered the essence of all Vedic literature. In fact, it is the most important of all scriptures because it contains the knowledge of all the other religious scriptures of the world. But it gives much greater information. It is the preliminary study of the transcendental science of self-realization. The Bhagavad Gita begins with this sloka. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre.
Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre.
Samaveta yuyutshava.
Samaveta yuyutshava.
Mamaka pandavascha eva.
Mamaka pandavascha eva.
Kim akurvata sanjaya.
Kim akurvata sanjaya.
Dhritarashtra uvacha.
Dhritarashtra uvacha.
Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre.
Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre.
Samaveta yuyutshava.
Samaveta yuyutshava.
Mamaka pandavascha eva.
Mamaka pandavascha eva.
Kim akurvata sanjaya.
Kim akurvata sanjaya.
Dhritarashtra uvacha.
Dhritarashtra uvacha.
Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre.
Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre.
Samaveta yuyutshava.
Samaveta yuyutshava.
Mamaka pandavascha eva.
Mamaka pandavascha eva.
Kim akurvata sanjaya.
Kim akurvata sanjaya.
Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after assembling in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do, being desirous to fight? The first sloka of Bhagavad Gita glorifies this holy place of Kurukshetra. Dharma kshetre Kurukshetre. This means that this was the most prominent thing on the mind of Dhritarashtra. The first words that he speaks, if the sun is too much, you sit here. Jyoti Sar means what?
The light is in place.
Yes.
Light of what? The place where light is emanating.
Jyoti Sar means the place where light is emanating. But because of our condition, we want to get out of the light, even when we're in Jyotisan, and come into the shade. So Dhritarashtra begins, and this is the most prominent thing on his mind. Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. That this battle is going to be fought in the holy place of pilgrimage called Kurukshetra. This is causing great fear to my heart, because Kurukshetra has, from the most ancient times of history, beyond what is traceable by human mind, it has been a place of piety, religious activities, and sacrifices. The original king of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Kuru, he performed a great yajna here. Does anyone know the story of this yajna? Shukadev Maharaj? Karalama Muniji?
Last time you mentioned briefly how he was flying to near the place where Brahma Sarovar is.
Anyways, King Kuru, it's a long story, but he actually took the position of a plowsman and he began to plow the fields here. Because it was the custom that before performing such grand yajnas, the king has to take the menial position of a plowsman and plow the field all around the place of the yajna. So because this great yajna took place by Maharaj Kuru, this place was called Kurukshetra. It is said that this is also the place that Bali Maharaj was performing yajna, with the help of many Brahmins. And Vamanadev, he appeared and came to this place to beg 3 steps of land in charity from Bali Maharaj. It is also the place where that great Shakti Vaishavatar Parasuram, after he annihilated the Kshatriya race of the earth 22 times, 21 times. After annihilating the Kshatriya race 21 times in the mood of a Kshatriya with his sharp axe, he resumed his original birthright as a Brahmin, and he came here to Kurukshetra to perform tapasya and yajna to atone for the offense of killing all the Kshatriyas in the planet 21 times. It is also a holy place where one of the very famous Jyotirlingas, ancient Murti of Lord Shiva, appeared. These are just some of the many, many wonderful narrations which glorify the history of Kurukshetra Dham. So Dhritarashtra was very worried, because he knew that his sons were the personification of adharma. And Yudhisthira Maharaj was Dharmaraj. He was the personification of dharma. And Kurukshetra is also known as Dharma Kshetra. It is not known as Adharma Kshetra. So therefore, there was certain advantage to Maharaj Yudhisthira by the battle being fought here. Dharmakshetra Kurukshetra. That Kurukshetra is the land or the field of dharma or spiritual practice. It was here that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. We cannot approach the Srimad Bhagavatam. We cannot approach the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We cannot approach any of these higher levels of spiritual thought without first being taught the proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Within these immortal words of Krishna, which were spoken here, there are five primary subjects. What is the jivatma, the individual soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, which is the eternal servant of God, Bhagavan? What is the Paramatma, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes, Krishna, who is the ever-wishing, ever-well-wisher of all living beings, and the master of all of creation, who is seated within the heart of every living being, and who is witnessing all of our activities, and constantly waiting to attract our hearts back to His loving service. Jivatma, the individual, soul, Paramatma, who is always the Lord and ruler of the Jivatma. Prakriti is the third subject matter. Prakriti means material nature. How material nature is created by the Paramatma, and how the Jivatma enters into this material nature, and how it becomes completely perplexed by the three modes of material nature, tamaguna, rajaguna, and sattvaguna. And how, according to the ahankar, the egoistic conception of the jivatma within this material nature, he engages in activities. And those activities, they form the fourth truth of the Bhagavad Gita, karma, the laws of action and reaction as they influence the jivatma, who is suffering or enjoying the consequences of the fruits of his actions. And how, under this subordination of prakriti and karma, the fifth subject matter of kala or time, which is the supreme force of this material creation devouring everything. Krishna discusses in great detail, in most scientific terms, everything that is necessary for every spirit soul to know, to be liberated from all suffering and attain the supreme destination of pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted loving service to the Lord. Arjuna, while sitting in this place on the chariot of Lord Sri Krishna, wanted to establish once and for all the real position of Krishna. Therefore, he asked Krishna, please show me your Virat Rupa, your universal form. So many unintelligent, unfortunate souls, although studying Gita their whole life, they never come to the most simple and important understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He repeats it throughout Gita. Matta parataram nan yatkinchir asti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manegana iva. Krishna says, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests on me as pearls are strung on a thread. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandataha. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Mat chitta mat gata prana bodhayanta parasparam khatyantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Krishna says that my devotees, their greatest pleasure in life is to discuss subjects referring to me, chanting my names and glories. Satatam kirtayanto mam, always chanting my glories. Aham bijapata pita. He says, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajin nam namaskuru. Always worship me, think of me, become my devotee. In this way you will never have to take birth in this world, but you will attain my abode. Janma karma chame divyam. Krishna says that one who understands my transcendental nature and my transcendental activities never takes birth again in this material world, but attains my supreme abode. Sarva dharmam purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayi sanima. Abandon all varieties of religion, Krishna says, and surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. You have nothing to fear. Krishna is declaring that he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, that he is the Supreme Godhead, that he is the source of everything that exists. Krishna says that unintelligent men, they worship the demigods for material benedictions. They do not know that whatever the demigods have, it comes from me. A wise man will worship me, the source of everything. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. That I am the supreme enjoyer of everything that exists, and I am the proprietor of all. And yet, foolish people, they declare that Bhagavad Gita doesn't mean to worship Krishna. Arjuna declared to Krishna, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitramitam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharamam Shushukam Karatam Avyayam. That you are the Supreme Brahman. You are the Supreme Purifier. You are the Supreme Abode. You are the Absolute Truth. This is not only what you're telling me. This is not only what I believe. Ahustvam Risheya Sarve Devar Shirnararastata Asito Devalo Vasya Swayam Chaiva Vivishuna. But all the great sages declare that you are the supreme goal of life, that you are the personality of Godhead. Vyasadeva, Narada, Asita, Devala, and all the great sages. But Arjuna wanted to make it clear for everyone. Because still, people say like this, not Krishna. Krishna's representing some higher power. Or Krishna is an ordinary man who's simply speaking divine words. Or Krishna is an incarnation who temporarily appears in this world and ultimately again merges into the impersonal void. So Arjuna wanted to make it clear to any sane and sensible person that this is all nonsense. So right here, sitting in this holy place, he asked Krishna, please, let me see your universal form. And it was here that Krishna gave Arjuna divine vision. And he revealed the universal form. Arjuna was sitting right where you're sitting, but he was seeing something different than you are. He was seeing Krishna with millions of heads, devouring all living beings with his millions of mouths, glaring like millions of suns. Arjuna couldn't even look at this sight. He had to beg Krishna, please take away this form. I want to see you as my friend again. So we are so fortunate to be here today. In fact, our own spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramhansa, Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he came to Kurukshetra and he had a great longing to establish a university to teach the pure principles of Bhagavad Gita. This was one of the desires that he left to be fulfilled by his disciples. He also gave the instruction that he wanted a beautiful temple of Krishna and Arjuna here in Kurukshetra. He wanted to attract people from all over the world to come to this holy place, to bathe in its sanctified atmosphere, and to hear and study the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, also very particularly came to Kurukshetra himself and established a beautiful Gaudiya Math, which we will be visiting sometime during our visit here. And when Srila Prabhupada came to Kurukshetra, some of the trustees of some important organizations here were showing him various places. But of all the places, he liked this place, Jyotisar, the best. He said, we should build our temple here. So peaceful, so nice, the place where Krishna spoke Gita. Let us establish a temple here. Of course, we don't have a temple here, but just to come together in this holy place is really what Guru Maharaj wanted so much for our own benefit. Sometime when we have more time, we should just come here and read all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita together.
You.
So let us pray to Lord Sri Krishna, and let us pray to Sri Arjuna that by their mercy we can have awakened within our hearts a very serious and enthusiastic interest to study and understand these words of Gita. And let us pray at their lotus feet that we can always remain in the dust of the feet of our own spiritual master, to be trained practically in how to live the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and distribute this message or should I say, assist the great souls in distributing this message throughout the whole world. Jyotisar, this light coming from this very holy spot in Kurukshetra is meant to give light and direction to the whole world. So while we are here, let us absorb this light within our own hearts and reflect this light through whatever we think, whatever we say, or whatever actions we perform. Thank you very much. Shri Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Shri Krishna Arjuna ki
jai.
In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his beautiful poems, he expressed that Kurukshetra was the place where he could render the greatest service. And we will discuss the reason for this when we visit another particular holy place here in Kurukshetra, perhaps tomorrow. Itai Gaura Premanandi
Hari Hari Bol.
Itai Gaura Premanandi
Hari Hari Bol.
Itai Gaura Premanandi
Hari Hari Bol.
Jai Jai
Shri Radhe.
Sadhana Swami Maharaj ki.